There's a story by South Dakota News Watch. It's Stu Whitney has written his story for them. And it's about the food tax and whether or not, you know, you and I will be paying the food tax. And there's some controversy surrounding the plan to end the food tax. Doing that through a ballot measure, then through the legislature. And as you know, the governor has promised that she would remove the food tax and has said that that would not impact municipalities. And so there's some disagreement on a ballot measure, I think, explanation out there by Attorney General Mark Vargo, saying that it would impact municipalities, and the governor's office has said it would not. And so now there is an effort that is coming from a group called Dakotans for Health, and this is Rick Weiland is a spokesperson for this. And they're saying that this issue, trying to do it by a ballot measure rather than through the legislature. And there are some issues with the ballot measure then that they're trying to get out there, and the explanation about the ballot measure that's out there rather than doing it through the legislature and problems that they are running into. And it's one of the reasons I have increasingly, and I'll just be very candid with you, I am, and I've told you this previously, so longtime regular listeners will not be surprised when you hear me say, I'm kind of tired of a lot of this initiated measures and the efforts by these so-called, and I put them in quotes, grassroots organization. I don't find any grassroots kind of, I look at the people who represent the grassroots organizations, and I don't see a lot of grassroots thinking among a lot of these people. I don't. And I talk to people from this, I'm from this area. I grew up here. I'm very well aware of kind of grassroots thinking and where they're coming from. I'm more and more, I would rather do these things via the legislature than rather by ballot measure, ballot initiatives, any one of them. We've talked about this recently. And this is a long story by Stu Whitney and reaction to this as to whether or not they're going to be able to get it done. And so the story begins by saying, well, if the governor does not fulfill her campaign pledge to repeal the South Dakota sales tax on food during the upcoming legislative session, voters then may get a chance to decide the issue on the 2024 ballot. Well, if the governor says, and the governor is unable to get it through the legislature, then do you think it should go to a vote? I would love to get your reaction to this. 336-1320 is the Kello hotline. 336-1320, toll free, 800-228-4435. The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities says South Dakota is one of only three states that fully taxes food without offering credits or rebates for the poor, which they do in a number of other areas where you can get the rebates then. And supporters say that the food tax has a disproportionate impact on low-income families and individuals. So as you and I talk about the food tax, these bills have not passed the legislature previously. This has been tried a number of times. It's been tried a number of times. And so you can't get it through the legislature, then it's, once again, here we go, ballot initiative. And I'm like, what's the problem if these groups repeatedly cannot get these issues through the legislature, should you and I then be voting on them? If the legislature cannot be convinced, you know why they'd rather that you and I decide it, right? They're going to have a lot easier time convincing you than they have had convincing lawmakers to do it. Going to have a much easier time convincing you. And then you're not there to actually deal with the aftermath of the impact of, you know, of those things as lawmakers to be able to deal with that. I'm not saying our state legislature is perfect. I'm not saying the system is perfect. I think there is a time if legislatures are just in denial of things that the public wants, or if they pass some law that South Dakotans just say no, no, overwhelmingly to be able to overturn those. I think there is a time and there is a place for that. I also feel like we have moved way beyond that, that we are trying to legislate everything via democracy. Democracy. We talked about this last week and the president talking about, yeah, President Joe Biden, democracy. Well, we don't live in a democracy. We live in a representative republic. We live in a representative republic. And what's the solution then if our officials at the state level are not doing what you and I hope, and they're not undertaking the things that we believe, right? What's our solution? Vote them out. Vote them out. Find people who represent your point of view. Get them into office. And So this story, and you may have seen this again. South Dakota Newswatch shared it, and it's been in a variety of places. And municipalities are understandably concerned about this. I don't want to say that there isn't, in terms of what the legislature winds up doing here, as to whether or not you repeal the sales tax on food. And there is, it's not just the state funds. There are funds that are generated by municipalities, Sioux Falls and others, right? So you've got other cities across the state that are reliant. We talked to Sioux Falls Mayor Paul Tenakin about this. Cities across the state, municipalities that are reliant on that food tax revenue. It helps fund our local governments, not just state governments. And what the governor has said is, no, those portions that would not be affected, it would only be that portion that's going to the state, so on. And I would love to get your reaction to this. 336-1320 is the Kello hotline. 336-1320. Toll free, 800-228-4435. Kello hotline's open. And you can drop me an email, of course, anytime, greg@kelloradio.com, greg@kelloradio.com. So I do understand the concern of municipalities as to whether or not then how much would, and I hate to use Sioux Falls as an example because it would be one of a number of municipalities, but if you say, okay, we're going to repeal the sales tax on food, and again, the governor's office has been very clear that it would not impact local municipalities. So the portion that municipalities would get would remain. That's what she has said. But what groups are saying, this Dakotans for Health, is saying, no, that may not be the case. So I would love to get your reaction to this. 336-1320. 336-1320, toll free, 800-228-4435. Let's start with Steve. Good morning, Steve. You're on Kello.
Good morning.
Hi, Steve.
So I've got a couple of questions. One, what service do we no longer get from the state, or what are they going to tax to make up the difference?
Great questions.
The other question I have is, I know that it the impact on the poor is greater, but if you're on, what do they call it now, the EBT, the old food stamp program, are they paying tax on food anyway?
If they're, I need you to make statements, Steve, and quit asking questions. I appreciate if you got questions you want answered. I'm not going to be the guy to do that.
Yeah. But I think we're going to have to make it up. Every time they cut a tax, they got to put it somewhere else.
Right.
So we're going to jack up the gas tax or tire tax.
Well, I share your concern about that. It's a great question. The governor has said that would not be the case. And I would point to folks like you and me because, the fact you're bringing it up is we're going to be very sensitive to that, right?
Yeah. It's got to come from someplace. And if they don't raise the tax, if they don't raise the tax, that means they didn't need the money anyway for the last 40 years. Or do we lose a service?
I understand. And the point the governor has talked about that specifically and what she is saying is that a lot of this is based on federal funds that the state is receiving. And for that reason, South Dakota is in a place where she feels that we can end that the sales tax on food. So thanks, Steve. Great questions, though. I understand where you're coming from. Good morning, Dave. You're on Kello.
Hi, Greg. I'm glad you brought this up because I've been involved with these initiative measures stuff and fighting them for years now. And one thing a lot of people don't seem to realize is that these initiated measures and constitutional amendments, when they come on the ballot like this, they're not just simple changes to laws. They're like 26 pages, 35
yes.
pages that have nothing to do with the title of them, right? We're gonna have a anti-corruption measure. Well, then they put 26 pages of stuff, and
kind of like the inflation reduction measure that we passed at the federal level.
That's exactly the point. And I just like to, if you really want to know what you're voting on, you have to read this stuff. And it's not gonna be the explanation that the attorney general makes is only 250 words, and they cannot summarize this.
I'm with you. Go look at the measure that's actually being. And I've seen some of them, and it just makes my blood run cold, Dave.
Right, exactly. I mean, I think we should have a law that they have to post the entire measure at the polling places so people can read it while they're standing in line. And I think people would be shocked about what they see on these things.
Yeah, I do as well. So how do you feel about, again, taking these measures up, putting them through the public rather than working through the legislature? Because I favor working through the legislature.
Well, I do too. South Dakota is one of those states that's the easiest state to get something on the ballot. And I think for a century, that has been a good thing because South Dakotans could, at least if they don't like what the legislature is doing, they've got an alternative measure of bringing some legislation. But I think it's been abused, and I think that there's a lot of outside South Dakota money that comes in here to try to change our laws in South Dakota, and there's just no local grassroots group that opposes this stuff. And I think it's become a scam. I think the people who push these things make a lot of money pushing them. And I really think the system has been abused, and we have to take a close look at it.
Well, thank you so much, my friend, for your thoughtfulness, for your call. I appreciate it, Dave. 336-1320, I'd love to hear from you. Phone lines are open. Oh, I grab Ron's call, and boom, gone. 336-1320 is the Kello hotline. 336-1320, toll free, 800-228-4435, 800-228-4435. So this, as I'm increasingly resistant to any of these citizen ballot measures rather than working through the legislature. You know, the legislature has, and this issue has come up, the issue of the food tax, it's come up repeatedly in the legislature. So bills aimed at repealing, this is from South Dakota News Watch, bills aimed at repealing or reducing the food tax during the 2022 legislative session fell short, as they have in past years. What's the reason for, what are the reasons for that? Why is the legislature then resistant to moving some of these things forward that the, you know, that the public would otherwise do? I think because they're going to be there to have to deal with the aftermath of all that, that, you know, of all this. If you're going to make those changes, legislators understand that the state's got to be funded somehow, right? And they'll have to deal with the aftermath of all the changes that they wind up making. They're going to have to deal with the aftermath of those things, whereas you and I don't. You go in and you vote on it, boom, and you forget about it. You forget about it. And you don't find that on the case of legislators. Again, I'm not saying I agree with lawmakers on everything. I don't, state lawmakers. I certainly don't. But I also understand that if I don't like the job that they're doing, or they're, you know, they are not, I don't appreciate their votes. I don't appreciate their direction. I've always got the ability to vote them out and find lawmakers that are more in tune with folks than that live in my district, right? It's kind of the way our system was designed to work. So I find myself increasingly agitated at the number of the, and some of the people who are behind the efforts too. I mean, for those in the state who know Rick Weiland, Rick Weiland's run for statewide office, been beaten. How many times? And then he's out there and he's the one that's saying, we got to get this in front of South Dakota voters. And, really? Rick Weiland again? I mean, wow. I know he's got a certain constituency that he represents, but give me a break. So as I see the controversy over this, and controversy for whom? Who thinks this is a controversy? I'm not so sure that I do. I think our lawmakers and our governor are fully capable of figuring these things out, doing what's best for the state, rather than citizens at this point having to step in. I do believe in the right of citizens. You know, at some point, if you and I have to step in on things, I'm absolutely fully supportive of that idea. The legislature does something that the, you know, citizens just say, no, that's a direction that we do not want to go. We do not want to see our state go there. I'm not saying legislatures always get it right, but I think they will get it right more often than all of these, you know, trying to govern through initiated measure. So you're going to have a pretty tough time, I think, selling me on any one of these initiated measures moving forward. I said that previously, and as time goes on, I get more and more. Again, we live in a representative republic. We do not live in a democracy, despite the fact that so many love to use that word. It's basic civics, gang. We live in a representative republic. I don't think it's unreasonable to expect our representatives and to tackle all of these issues. And it's a tall order. And so I don't envy them the job. I really don't. Thank you so much, my friend, for letting me join you this morning. Welcome to the Greg Belfried Show. Great to have you along. We were talking about the food tax and ballot measure versus working on it through the legislature. Got an email from Wes who said, I'd argue that most taxes, excluding income taxes, which we don't have on the state level, hit low-income individuals across the board, he says. I'm quite sure we won't repeal alcohol and tobacco taxes, which absolutely hit low-income individuals the hardest. And he said, do they really want to open that can of worms, arguing it hits the poor hardest? It's not about low-income individuals. It's about taking more money from us to spend how they want, he says. Power. I'd appreciate your perspective. 336-1320. Toll free, 800-228-4435. Let's get back to your phone calls. We'll start with Allie. Good morning, Allie. You're on Kello.
Well, good morning, Greg.
Hi.
And, speaking of the initiated measures, a few years ago, I was approached by someone with a petition for a ballot issue, and I said, do you live in South Dakota? And he said, yes. And I said, where do you live? And he goes, Merdu. Tells you what you want to know, huh?
Exactly right.
Thanks, Greg.
And you know what? Thank you, my friend, Allie, for your phone call. I appreciate it. You know, there are a lot of people that come in and they collect signatures, petition signatures. That's what they're paid to do. I appreciate that. I respect that. It's one of the reasons why I don't sign a petition just because you put it in my face. It's one of the reasons why I'm very cautious about what I'm, if it's something that I believe in, I absolutely will. But I generally am going to seek people out, or I know people where I can sign petitions. That's fine with me. A lot of those people that are collecting signatures, they come in, they have a residency for a short period of time, they collect signatures, and then they're off onto other pastures. 336-1320 is the Kello hotline. Bill, good morning. You're on Kello.
Good morning, Greg. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks, Bill.
Good, good. Say, I've been listening, and, I think I got a solution to this thing, or a potential solution anyway, that was portrayed some time ago. It seems to me that for the past few years, I have now been paying sales taxes on every internet purchase that I make. And when this was instituted, it was conveyed to us that this would be in lieu of the food tax, and the food tax would be reduced. Our legislatures, unfortunately, are like drunken sailors. They spend whatever they can get, and there's been no relief.
Yes. So where do you stand then, based on that, when you hear this kind of, these issues, and we've got to put this out on the ballot? What's your reaction, Bill?
Well, my reaction is they've had several years to amend this and do what they said they were going to do as far as reducing the sales tax on food. Okay, in lieu of the tax that they instituted on internet sales. It never happened. So I guess it's time for a resolution.
I don't know that there was anybody at the state level who was saying that, Bill. Who were the people you were hearing?
Oh, everybody was pushing.
No. I'm not looking for an everybody. That's generalization. I'm looking for specifically who was out there saying that. The governor is here with a specific proposal that she has got in hand, that she's talking about it.
No, the governor at the time, I believe, was Dennis Tugard, okay? And he was pushing the proposal that if we could institute the tax on internet sales.
Yep, yes, you're right.
The food tax would go away.
Right. You're right about that. I recall that.
And the legislatures were pushing that as well. It wasn't Dugard alone. It was our elected legislatures at the time that were trying to sell this to us.
Yes. Yeah, it's a great point. I do recall that, and you're absolutely right. So you think they're going to have to be pushed.
Well, it's like every other tax we institute in this state. It's portrayed in the best light, and they say, you know, it will solve all problems, and this will go away, and that will go away, and it never goes away. They just spend more money.
Right. Well, it's a great point. I'm glad you made it. Thank you, Bill, so much for your call. 336-1320 is the Kello hotline. Good morning, Bruce. You're on, Kello.
Good morning, Greg. Say, on both your topics this morning, you know, a lot of people are touching on the sales tax. And I just think, too, I mean, I'm a staunch conservative, but it's not like I don't want to pay taxes. But hey, that's fair for everybody. Everybody pays the food tax. I think we still need to pay it. But with your initiatives, I tell you what, those are killing our process. South Dakotans are just too busy to pay attention when they're signing things and voting for things. I think we need to have a legislative body that actually can dig into the details.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, they debate these things. They hear testimony. They go through a whole process where you and I just sign a petition.
Right, yeah, exactly. There's a lot of consequences, you know. A couple, for instances, the marijuana thing a couple years back. I mean, yeah, let's sign that. That was just a debacle. In my opinion, when the South Dakota said, yeah, let's raise minimum wage, that was through an initiative, and it's killing small businesses. You know, and now this, we're too busy to look into the consequences of what's going to happen 5-10 years down the road, and we got to get away from this process or at least make it more difficult to do.
Which is something that, you know, legislators have been trying to do. And other groups as well that say it needs to be more difficult. There's nothing wrong with having these measures out in front of the public, but it needs to be more difficult than just saying 50% plus one, and this is now the law of the state.
Exactly. And our citizenry should be part of the process. They can bring up the ideas, but our legislative body has to legislate it. They have to look into it. Let's get 2/3, you know, something like that, that we really need to, tighten the grip on this thing.
Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you so much, Bruce. Always good to hear from you. Tim is on the line. Good morning, Tim. You're on Kello.
Hey, good morning, Greg. You know, I moved here from California, where the initiative process has a long history. It was initially a reform measure, but, you know, you're right to be skeptical of it, because at one time it did serve the purpose of giving the people a check on the legislature if it got wacky. I think most people nationally heard of California passed a thing called Proposition 13 way back in the day that kept the legislature from willy-nilly raising property taxes, because the legislatures were just pumping up property taxes every session, and the people were able to stop that. But what's happened since is that the initiated process in California has become, like you're saying, a source of confusion for people who can't track everything. Every election cycle, there's a glut of initiatives, more than anybody can possibly read or look at. It's as bad as the legislature with 2,000-page bills.
Right.
Also, the activists you're talking about, what they do is they structure the things to be confusing. So if you're voting yes, you're voting against what you think you're voting for, stuff like that. We saw that with the slaughterhouse initiative. I think that was more of an accident than by intent. But this recent slaughterhouse initiative thing here in Sioux Falls, if you voted yes, you were voting no, you know, right?
Right.
It's all upside down. And that's done by intent, typically, in California. So you're right to be skeptical of it, because while it can serve a good purpose, ultimately it can be exploited to just, you know, make elections more confusing and meaningless.
And I never want to take away, you know, the power of the people, the ability of you and I to be able to say, you know what, this is something we really feel strongly about. Our legislature got it wrong on this issue, or they refused to take up some issue, and an overwhelming majority of us say, we have got to do this, this is it. And I absolutely support that, but that's not the way we see it being used right now.
Right, it's not the way it evolves, actually. And I mean, I was really active on the campaign to curb payday lending, for instance. And I mean, I was very supportive of that and worked real hard on that. But yeah, the red flag you're waving is a real thing, because it can become a source of just confusion and exploitation if it's not watched.
Well said. Tim, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate your thoughts. 336-1320 is the Calo hotline. Toll free, 800-228-4435. There, a few others. Hold on a second. There was an email I wanted to share with you on this issue. Curtis had emailed, and he said, if the grocery tax goes away, the legislature will have to replace the lost revenue with a possible income tax or expand property tax on cars, boats, motorcycles, etc. He said, I lived in Kansas where they have both, and you pay hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on these items when you register them. I will keep the grocery tax anytime, he says. So thanks so much for your thoughts. Much appreciated. Something else that I would love to get your thoughts on, and we'll have to do this in more detail coming up likely tomorrow. You see these comments by Senator Mark Warner on Fox News Sunday over the weekend. Warner is a Democrat. He's the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And he said the social media platform TikTok is an enormous threat. And he said parents should be very concerned about their children's use of TikTok. He said it's a threat on two levels. One, it's a massive collector of information, oftentimes of our children. They can visualize even down to your keystrokes. So if you're a parent and you got a kid on TikTok, I would be very, very concerned. This is what he said yesterday on Fox News Sunday. He said all of that data that your child is inputting and receiving is being stored somewhere in Beijing, he said. And he said it's difficult to separate out TikTok from the fact that the actual engineers are writing the code in Beijing. They're writing the code in China. And this is an issue. There's been concern about TikTok. Not the first time we're hearing this. It's been brought up by others. And I think it's, you know, as Warner is sharing his concerns, I'm hearing him. And he said, you know, TikTok is working basically. It's the Chinese Communist Party. He said TikTok is, in a sense, is a broadcasting network for the Chinese Communists. So this issue of TikTok really encouraging young people to get rid of their accounts, and then even beyond that, if there's information that they may not just changing passwords and so on, but information that may have been stored and available than on your computer, other financial information, the TikTok may be, they may have that information. And when I hear that, now again, I don't like to overreact, but there has been concerns about that platform for quite some time. It's worth talking about because a lot of young people are on TikTok. A lot of people are on that platform. 336-1320 is the Kello hotline. We were talking about the grocery tax, and Mike called. Good morning, Mike. You're on, Kello.
Good morning, Greg. Great conversation. I was in and out on some of that, but
no worries, my friend. What's on your mind?
These amendments, and we talk about the power should be rested in the legislature and to the people to let the legislature decide a lot of this. A lot of the problem, though, I see, especially in South Dakota, is the, I don't know if you'd say incestuous or cozy, of the governor's office having a strong effect in controlling the legislature and the direction of where bills go to get passed or assignment to certain committees. I mean, this is inside baseball legislature, but how, and not just Governor Noem, but I will, in this case, with the grocery tax, has influenced the power of that legislation actually getting killed before it even gets decided on floor votes in the House and Senate. In this case, this winter, that sales tax relief got killed by design in the Senate by Senate Majority Leader out of Watertown, Lee Schoenbeck. They have a great working relationship. She did not want that bill at that time. It didn't even get a chance because he got it killed. So a lot of the legislature, and then the legislature gets sandwiched on the other end on these stupid amendments that override their ability of the people. The legislature is the body of the people to decide or not decide. It can't even get to them.
Yeah, but when do you start kicking people out of legislature that are engaged in that kind, those kinds of practices, Mike? That's
You're
why
right,
you and I go and vote.
That's true, but when we go and vote, a lot of the strings and purses attached to the legislature have effect of who's going to be in the next regime. And if they go along and get along with the cozy relationship of the governor, he will help direct the funding, or he or whoever the governor will be, and keeps a lot of good people out by where they will or won't direct campaign money, committee assignments, and primary races. A lot of shenanigans went on. So in this example, the governor then came around and used the power of the bully pulpit, which legislators don't have, and I'd argue they probably shouldn't have. But the governor comes around with the bully pulpit and a big photo op in front of a grocery store in small town South Dakota, and then just blatantly tells a different story about how she's for the sales tax relief. So a lot of this stuff gets obfuscated before it can even get to the legislature. My argument is they should have a separation constitutionally and follow the Constitution, where the governor, the state constitution, the governor should not get involved and stay out of the legislative process. But it's hard to do when you have...
Well, and I follow you. Yeah, I follow you. You just think the governor in this case is too involved in the process. So as you and I talk about initiated measures, then, Mike, what's your feeling about that?
Horrible. It just circumvents, and people are expected to show up and read 25 page, or no, they don't read, and get a vote where 40% might show up to vote, and then of that 40% voter turnout at best, half of that is 21%. That's the majority of how it gets. It's not the majority of the people. It's the majority of who pulls up to vote, and half of them, I'm not saying they're stupid, but they don't have time to read all that crap, and then of, say, a 40% turnout vote, which is optimistic, half of that plus one is deciding what's the deal. It's not a majority of the people. It might be 20, 21, 22% of the
sure.
voters are actually showing up and decided. That's another phony thing.
It's so not- what I hear you saying, what you're really arguing in favor of is that we need to make sure that our state legislature has more autonomy, that they are able
Absolutely.
To, yeah.
You could have shows and shows over that, and I'm sure you have, but when the legislature gets hammered from the people and then the governor's office, and I would argue with this sales tax, is very hypocritical, and those that follow the legislature, Christie did a complete flip-flop on this grocery tax thing. She not only derailed and killed
yep.
that legislation
yep.
in the Senate, she went out and Lee Schoenbeck with the state funding machine and funded the candidates in the primary in her own party to defeat those that were for the sales tax relief. And that's true.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, in this example, it's the hypocrisy of the governor's office and the power of the governor's office. And then the legislature is hung out to dry, and they don't. Legislature should have the power. It's my argument.
No, it's a good one. I appreciate you making it. I understand where you're coming from. Mike, thank you so much for your thoughts. He's articulated, I think, a lot of issues there. Of what's happening in this. And again, the question that I asked was more about, you know, whether I was reacting to this news piece by South Dakota News Watch about, you know, this plan to end the food tax and doing it by ballot measure rather than through the legislature. So I wasn't saying that there aren't problems in the legislature. Mike, again, I really appreciate his comments. You know, what I was saying is that we live in a representative republic, right? We do not live in a democracy. And the president and others like to act as if we live in a democracy. We live in a representative republic. And that means, and that's what I, even with Mike, I was saying, okay, so if there are people that are then being, you feel are being pawns, the lawmakers that you believe are being influenced unduly then by the governor, doesn't it come back to you? Are you then in a position to say, all right, I'm not, and I understand with some of these lawmakers, you're talking about districts and so on. If it's not a lawmaker from your district, really not much you can do, but you certainly have the ability to impact who it is who's representing you, right, on these issues. So that was the larger point that I was trying to get at. Appreciate all the calls. I thought, Mike, I appreciate your thinking, and I understand your frustration.